What's up, guys? Welcome to the first and last ever episode 14 of the Kind of Funny Games cast. Right here, we got Colin Moriarty. Right there, we got Greg Miller, two of the two coolest dudes in video games. And right there, we got Alfredo Diaz.
Oh, hello.
AKA What's up, Alfredo Plays on twitch.tv.
That I am.
Alfredo Plays.
Where I do games.
And the Alfredo Plays on Twitter.
There were a lot of concern when you left about how you're going to pay your bills. Could Twitch do it? You left, Twitch went down. You're now being sponsored by Quickly, so everything's okay.
Things are working out.
You need green stuff with tapioca balls, you go to Quickly.
Our next step is going to be recreating that video they have playing on loop.
Oh, yeah.
And every Quickly, where it's like the guy late to the date with the roses.
Never been inside of Quickly.
Damn.
Man.
And they're all buy one.
They're all you've never lived, thousands Greg. Of
times. There's Quickly, there's much. Quickly Express. There's
like you're not missing much.
K-Quick Superstar.
Yeah, it's like how quick can you get? It's just, it's a very important thing. Now we start each and every one of these episodes talking about how it's the first and last episode of whatever,
right?
And
but you're
during episode 12, Greg was like, there could be another, there will be another, and there was another
prophecy.
And this was a mistake. For some reason the podcast keep, for some people they're showing up and for some people they're not showing up on iTunes, and if you're not getting it, I think it's a rarity, because if we're seeing the stats, people are getting the episodes. So if you're not getting it, I don't know why. Maybe you need to refresh your cookies or something.
If you're not getting
what kind
some,
of cookies?
If you're I don't not know, getting some, check your
hopefully
cookies.
It's Chips Ahoy. But
EL Fudge, what they used the to be. Fuck they're is not wrong
as,
with you?
They're not as good as they used to be.
Who does that? Who says that?
Tim
Chips
said,
Ahoy?
Chips Ahoy.
I knew some people that were down as fuck with Chips
Mike
Ahoy.
Mike Nolan ate Chips Ahoy.
I'm pretty Chips
they're
Ahoy.
Down as fuck. Don't get me wrong. I'll enjoy a Chips Ahoy once in a while, but if I'm like... If I'm thinking about the best, remember, did you have Matt's chocolate chip cookies out here, or was that a
no,
Chicago
that's
thing?
That's definitely not a thing.
They were packaged, but they were all soft and moist all the time. Like
I love moist.
Oh, see, moist cookies are the best.
What were the soft, moist ones, Kevin?
The
soft and moist Chips
no,
Ahoy.
No, Chips Ahoy. They do that, but there's another cookies that just tend to be moister.
They're the moist version.
The Keebler Elves.
No, the Chips Ahoy ones had the soft, moist version, too.
The chocolate fudge bottoms and the things across the top.
No, little Keebler Elves motherfuckers. Their chocolate chip cookies were, way moister than the Chips Ahoy.
Remind me this.
Yes.
The Chips Ahoy. I remember three packages of Chips Ahoy. There was the red package, the blue package, and the brown package. Now, if I remember correctly, the blue package was the original.
Right?
Yep. And the red was
chewy.
It was chewy. And then the brown was extra chocolate, right? Was that it was? It was like...
Well, I mean, if it's brown, it's got to be extra chocolate.
It's got to be something.
One definitely had peanuts.
I never had a Chips Ahoy with
there was
peanuts.
No peanuts.
You guys
I don't think so. No, that I don't think that ever happened.
Thank Kev's getting the phone out.
I'm going to call bullshit on that.
Samsung, whatever. All
right, guys. So, going back... to the task at hand. Episodes not going up, but they are going up. That's the thing. So there's no episode not going up, but there's some people not seeing it. So we re-uploaded episode 12 of the Games Cast. So to some people, they got it twice. So technically, there was two episode 12s. The people are screenshotting it. Thank you for that.
Have you ever explained
look like
the dating
Dumbo.
System?
The dating system.
And I don't mean how afraid
last
of dates.
Week on Game Over Greggy show, we had episode 6.
The fact that the dates are back a week.
No. So, yeah, you're right. We probably should have addressed this at some point. If you're getting these on iTunes, and there's a lot of people that will tweet at us, and they'll just be like, oh, hey, the last Gamescast or the last Game Over Greggy show went up on,
2 weeks ago.
2-3 weeks ago. And it's just like, that's looks that way. But it's not, because we upload it to SoundCloud to go to Patreon users, and they get the private link and all that stuff. We upload our shows way early, so if you want the shows early, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and you can get them. If not, you just wait. So we're not behind.
They're showing the original upload date, which is always 2 Thursdays before it gets uploaded on Friday, pretty much.
Exactly.
For you on the general side.
So it does get confusing. But
the news is always there. The evergreen Tim is always there with his double episodes. What do we have on the Chips Ahoy front?
Chunky.
I was right. Yes. I remember that. Now, was there anything else other than the blue, the red, and the brown that you can find? Because I don't remember any other packaging specifically.
There was definitely chewy ones.
Yeah, chewy's the red.
That's the red ones.
Those were good, but they weren't as good as
those
Matt's.
Blue was OG, red was chewy, the brown was the...
Then there's the ones with the M&Ms in them.
There was the ones with the M&M's in them.
Then there's the ones with the peanuts in them.
I don't remember the peanuts.
Was the M&M's, was that a Keebler?
Keebler definitely does have M&M's, but there is Chips Ahoy. There's Rainbow Chips Ahoy.
Okay.
I think they're called was Rainbow. That with the
I remember M&M's. That too.
I do remember that.
Now I'm starting to crave some Chips Ahoy. And again,
they're not as good as they used to be.
Now there's a turnaround here, Greg.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying if you could have any cookie you want, Chips Ahoy is an interesting response.
That's true, but it's also just a good defense.
What is this thing? Oh, the brownie.
I mean, that's nonsense. That doesn't exist.
This is Chips Ahoy trying to keep up with Oreo. Now, keep in mind, they do have Chips Ahoy with Oreo cream inside them now.
But isn't Chips Ahoy Nabisco? Right?
That's what Oreo is for sure. I cannot talk to you about the lineage.
So they,
that's what I say Chips Ahoy because I feel like they're in like the Coca-Cola of cookies. Like their whole, all of the cookies that they got, the Oreos, the Chips Ahoy, the other stuff, they probably
do. They do Keebler, don't they?
Do they? That sounds great.
I like the Keebler elves.
He's just like my homie. Yeah.
Keebler elves are my homie.
Carl was the guy that got way too excited when the commercials came on.
I liked the fudge style chocolate. I don't like chocolate very much, but I did like the Keebler elves cookies very much.
I like that there was a narrative to their commercials. Mm. I like that they were hard workers.
Yeah. They were working hard.
There was a
Chips Ahoy had some dope commercials though.
Chips Ahoy, that was their one fucking commercial.
And they. You remembered it. I remembered it. It's the exact same commercial I was thinking of.
Now tell me one of the narratives of the Keebler elves. What were they doing?
You got the old Keebler elves.
Yeah, that old piece of shit.
Yeah, he started it all. He hollowed out the tree himself, fought a bunch of fucking fire ants. That's his, his prequel is just that tree was infested with fucking fire ants. They took a lot of his people. A lot of his brother lost his brother. Then it was really weird because this is the old man elf who goes on to run it, right?
What was the brother's
young
name?
Man elf. His name Joe the elf.
Joe the elf.
Okay. This is Slater the Elf story though. Slater the Elf is the old man. Oh, okay. So Slater and Joe are fighting all the fire ants. Joe dies, but eventually they win the war. Fire ants are extinguished.
Put out the fire.
What's sad, right, is that of course this leaves Joe's wife widowed. So it's one of those things that is like.
And what was her name?
Oh, I don't like where
her
this
name's
is
Sarah.
Going.
Sarah. Is Joe's dying here? He's like, Slater, you gotta take care
don't
of
do
Sarah.
It, Slater,
you gotta
don't
do.
Do
you
it.
Gotta take care of. And he's like, I will.
Now,
exactly. You're jumping ahead here. The problem, of course, is that Slater was married at the time too. Now, as luck would have it, his wife would come down with cancer and die. And so he
what
was
her
able,
name.
Her name Rebecca.
Rebecca the elf. Okay.
Yeah. So Slater's able to get it on with Sarah, and then make all the elves you see inside the hollowed out fire ant tree.
All of them.
All.
So it's just like this.
It's
like,
a family business. It's like,
it's like
your local cobbler shop.
Mm-hmm.
making love, making cookies.
They're the
are you saying cobbler because of the Keebler? Is that like kind of how you're getting to the that's the example?
I thought
store?
It was. I was trying to think
like
it was,
sounds
like
it's cobbler.
17th century London.
I was thinking of what's a rustic job that you would need on
cobbler.
Top of. Like cobbler, he's fixing the shoes.
My friends had to go get their shoes cobbled recently, and I thought it was a fucking joke. But there's a cobble place.
Yeah, there's one like on Irving.
Are your friends women?
Yes.
I've never and this isn't a gender thing. I just don't know any man who's like just doesn't throw away his shoes, takes them to get cobbled. But I've had multiple girlfriends take their shoes in to be fixed.
Mm. To be fixed.
I just buy new Converse. Cobbled. You can't cobble Converse.
Right? Don't cobble the Converse. All right, guys.
You take them into a cobbler, they're going to just throw them back in your face. We don't cobble.
Gobble.
Converse.
No, listen,
I'm not even going to the rigmarole at all today. You guys know what the hell this show is. We're going straight to the first topic.
We had a different kind of rigmarole.
You know what the fuck this show is.
Are you sure you know what the show is?
No, I think what just happened proves to them what the show is.
We got to get a sponsorship from Chips Ahoy.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And all we do is sing this song.
So, Colin, I think you're going to like this one.
Okay.
Because this is a feature that recently brought you great joy. Updates Guardian over on Twitter wants to know about character customization and creation. What are our thoughts on this? What are our memories on this? Do we like it? Is there pros? Is there cons? Because I got a lot of thoughts.
The golden age has come and gone.
Mm. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. You're right.
I'm thinking we're in the same ballpark at least. I'm thinking of the wrestling games, your No Mercies and whatnots, your NWO Revenges and whatnots. That was where you had enough options where you would make things and your friend. I recreated the entire. Everyone knows I'm a former backyard wrestler, 2-time BYWF champion. I made the entire roster of the BYWF in WWF No Mercy, of course. And everybody came over and was like, holy shit, these guys look amazing. I can't believe you could cobble it together and play with you could cobble it together, play with the colors, get these things to look as close as possible, like to have these things that looked really real. And then when the next gen came and gave you all the options and made everything super realistic and did all the stuff, and now there's fucking sliders for your cheeks and the fucking jowls and your eyes, how far back your eyes go, like that lady in Kentucky. The problem is there's just too many options. There are too many options.
I'm just going to drop that in there.
I couldn't remember if we ever told that story.
I'm not
going to tell that story. Don't worry. Anyways, there's too many options. So now you can't make things that look It's never, you can't, there's no suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
There's never like.
Because it's too close, but it's not close enough. What's it called, Kevin? There's a word for this. Uncanny Valley.
I was going to say Silicon Valley. Like that. No, that's the problem. I mean, that's the whole thing of like last night, I'm restarting Bloodborne, right? Because I had started it right before I left, played like 15 minutes, like, oh, I want to play more when I get back. And while I'd been gone, I'd seen all the things like, you can make the Joker in Bloodborne. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to make the Joker and play the Joker.
You can make Galvatron too.
Yeah, I know. Galvatron, Galvatron's the same way. I'm never going to get Galvatron spot on, so I'm just going to let him ride it out on his
own. Here's a hint, just put every slider to max.
I go in and I start watching an 11-minute video on how to make the Joker. And of course, rather than just share the fucking numbers at the end of this, it's him tweaking it on the fly, then finding it, and then Xing out. So I did it for like 5 minutes of my time, which is like 30 seconds of the game time where I'm watching and pausing and trying to get... And I was like, fuck this. Like, it's just too much. It's too much. I don't want this. I just want to make it good enough.
You gave him green hair and called it a day.
Then I turned on Borderlands and played Borderlands. No, I need to redo it. I'm just going to make somebody else. I tried making Taylor Swift my first time around. That didn't look right either.
I always want to create a masterpiece, but literally 5 minutes in, I'm just tired of it. I'm like, this is a chore. It's a job.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's there, but I'm like, eh, just give me a default.
You wade into it, and you're like, I'm going to do this. And then literally like 10 minutes later, you're like, I just want to play the fucking game.
That's the biggest problem with modern games specifically, where it's all about being immersed in the experience and creating your own character. It's like, you can't play a game without spending an hour creating a character before you even see the first cutscene.
Yeah.
Like, it's that's an issue because you want it to be right, and you're stuck with this character for the next 20 hours.
I went through phases. Phase one was like, yes, I'm going to spend hours. I'm going to create my character. Phase two was around like Mass Effect. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to, but I should. I feel kind of obligated. Like, I have to create someone cool looking. And then now with like Bloodborne, per se, it's just, I'm done with it. I'm like, nope, don't have the time.
Yeah.
This is what happened with this year's WWE game, where I got it, started playing it at 9, and I wasn't playing the game till 10:15. Because I was trying to understand how to upload Colin's face, and then once I got the face uploaded, stretch it the right way, but then there's white space, and like you're transparent. It's like, eventually you just give up, and Colin looked like it was a dude who had pasted Colin's face on his face, and it was like good enough. And that was part of the joke for a while, but it's just, you know, like.
I mean, that's so funny that they haven't got that right yet, because they keep trying with that facial recognition bullshit. Like, so I brought up Tony Hawk 2 earlier. That was the first game I really, really remember having like a deep. Create a skater like thing.
Yeah.
And that game went fucking overboard where it's like create a park, create a this, create a like Tony Hawk was it went a little far eventually with all the creative things. It's like I don't want to make my own game. Give me a goddamn game.
Yeah.
But Tony Hawk the fifth Tony Hawk game was the first one to have like take a digital picture, email it to this thing. It'll put the face on your character and all this shit. It was just like it never looked right.
It
always looked so weird. And it's like now we have Kinect. Now we have the PlayStation Eye.
It's not the Eye anymore. It's not.
They used to get so mad when we kept calling it the Eye, and they're like, it's not the Eye anymore. Like, right.
But, yeah,
it's the Twitch camera.
It has that shit, and it. We still can't nail it? That's weird to me. Like, you see NBA... What was it? NBA 2K?
No. So NBA 2K, if it's done right, it looks spot on and amazing. But, man, Brian Altano and I tried that for 2 hours. It just didn't work at all. But also, my first interaction with doing the whole, like, facial recognition with, like, a camera was to get an achievement in Rainbow Six
Vegas. I remember I had this, too. Yeah,
it turned out horribly.
But that was the thing, too, is, like, the suite on that was so simple that everyone looked goofy and stupid. Yeah. So, like, I remember my face was like this, and it was like that on purpose, and I didn't take my glasses off, and so it's all stretched, but it was like, that's, like, what that was supposed to be. And you're like, fine, cool. Yep. Nobody was like, I'm going to look fucking perfect.
Yep, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we all remember Perfect Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Supposed to have it. Then a bunch of idiots shoot up a high school. We lose privileges.
Yeah. God damn it, stupid idiots.
You were a baby. You don't remember.
I played Perfect Dark Zero. Not the good version.
No, you did not play the right one. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are problems.
But, yeah, we had the sweet spot there. Mm-hmm. An N64 era, I think. When you could create something with a limited tool set. And you always dreamed big of, like, man, I can't wait for next generation when I can maybe put my own tracks in as entrance music, or I can do this, or I can do that. But then when you got it, it was too much, and it was never right.
Yeah. I don't know. See, the PS2 era, I don't think was that bad. I think it's PS3 era that was, like, really just was, like, okay, there's just too many options. Because that's, like, the PS2 era, at least most of the games I played, it did have way too many sliders, but... Some of them were just, like, bullshit. Like, whenever you could fuck with the skin tone, it's just, like, there'd be, like... 5 skin tone options and then just a million other colors that aren't skin tone. It's like, why?
Why
is that even a thing? That's weird. And then
they're future proofing for if aliens ever came.
Yeah. Then we can just make sure that we're like really look, we were prepared correct.
For you. We got we had some problems as a as a species with racism before. We're getting out in front of it
we're
this
good.
Time.
We're totally good.
We've accepted you from day one.
I think another thing now is the avatars. That was real big and started kind of last generation with the Wii, PS3, and 360.
What,
all
Mies?
Had. Yeah, so like Mies, and then what the fuck?
PS3 didn't have it, but 360 had it. And
oh yeah, your home character.
No one that doesn't really. No one.
Xbox is just Avatar. Are they just called avatars on Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Avatars. So it's like those were weird because it's like you could do good enough, and like.
But that was perfect. Though.
Exactly, that's it the was point. Perfect. Everyone loved Mies because it was so simple, yep. And it was like you didn't get into the fucking sliders of how big your jaw. It's like how big are the eyes?
But
how
it far apart are they? You, and that
exactly.
was the point.
And they were like caricatures. They were cartoons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoyed those. Mm.
They so should, did everybody.
Yeah.
Because they were great, easy to get into, easy to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Come to making think a wrestler. No.
My first wall was Skyrim. I think on the 360. That's when I was like, nope, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah.
When the what?
Skyrim. The character creation.
Oh, and you had to do
Skyrim.
It? Yeah.
I was like, it's too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of times when you get to create a character in games, like specifically modern ones, I'm just like, I'm not going to. This is what the character's supposed to look like. We're running with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just go for it. Dude, what's your process, Colin?
To me, like I feel like it's more of a narrative thing. Like I was always confused why there was a character creator in a game like Mass Effect. It always bothered me that Mass Effect had a character creator because it's supposed to be about Commander Shepard. This is supposed to be a person. So like it's different, like the game doesn't like it asks you your first name, I think, but you're Shepard, you know, and the story changes based on your choices, but you're not really playing your own character because other people are playing the game the same way anyway. So like Mass Effect to me was like bizarre where everyone was like making their own Shepards, and I'm like, I was using shaved head Shepard. I'm like, this is Commander Shepard. It doesn't matter like what your character looks like. This is what everyone thinks about when they think of Commander Shepard. He right. is the character.
Yep.
And, but at the same time, a game it makes sense in a game like Bloodborne because it's like, who is your name and who is your character and all that kind of stuff. The thing that's weird about it is that you never, like, people put all this time into it, but you never see your character. In a third-person game, your back's already turned. You have to actually, like, manipulate the camera to see your character unless there are cutscenes, and there really are not cutscenes in Bloodborne. So it's like, you know, it in a game like that, it makes sense, but it's also weird why you'd put any time into it at all. Well, you could just do no work, and it's the same experience. So to me, yeah, it's basically just like if a character is a character with a name, a predetermined name, and at least a story, even if you're going to make choices like in Mass Effect, there shouldn't be a character creator at all. That's weird. Mm-hmm. In a game like Fallout and Skyrim, it makes sense because you're playing whoever, the Wastelander or you know, whoever the fuck you're going to play as.
Dragonborn.
The Dragonborn.
But then in a first-person game, you see yourself even less.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about any first-person games. You can be third. Those are all third-person games.
All right.
That's how I played Skyrim and how I played Fallout. Make Clark Kent, pull back. Make Taylor Swift, pull back.
Yeah, I mean, like, I played Fallout first person. You can play it as third person. And I think I played Skyrim third person because it's so much more melee-centric. It seemed more natural, yeah. But I don't really remember. I stopped playing it after about 10 hours because it didn't work. Yeah, so that's kind of where I stand on it. I like it. My instinct is always to use the core main character because you're not going to make a character much better looking than that.
Unless you're Nate. Because you can make Nate look like... Nate just is in every game.
Yeah.
Blonde white guy with blue eyes.
Or you can, I like to make just totally fucking ridiculous characters like we do with Galvatron because that's like, that is my instinct. It's like, if you're going to give me these tools, I am not going to spend time making good looking characters because, you know, Galvatron made the rounds on a lot of different websites of like examples of what people have been doing with the character creator, but some people have been making amazing looking characters that are like awesome looking. And I'm like, I don't really see the point in that. I mean, if that's what makes you happy, that's cool, but you're not going to really be able to enjoy it. So you might as well just jack your character up and fucking have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically it. Character creation is, I like playing as characters already exist. That's why I'm playing video games. I'm not trying to be me.
That makes sense.
Colin, what'd you have for lunch?
I don't know. Why?
You got some orange stuff on your arm. I was wondering if it's food.
Oh, no, this
sunscreen.
Is... Oh, no, this happened to me yesterday, too. I had peanut butter sandwiches. This is from, I bought Cheryl flowers last week, and I keep brushing up against them in our room. Oh. And so yesterday, I actually had, I had it on my arm over here, and now I have it over here.
Okay.
That or it's maybe blood.
Born.
From, you know,
Portillo. Like that.
From Portillo?
Yeah.
What?
You're just like clocking them with the upper part of your arm.
Yeah.
Your bicep, I believe. Like the trainer's
bicep.
Call it.
You're just making those things up, Greg. All right. Second topic. We talked about this a week ago, I want to say, on a Colin and Greg Live.
About a week ago. Sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. YouTube is preparing to relaunch its live streaming platform with a renewed focus on live gaming and esports specifically, according to sources within the streaming industry. This is from the Daily Dot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. The Google-owned online video behemoth, which tried and failed to acquire streaming giant Twitch last year, has watched the growth of esports with great interest and is looking to acquire broadcast content and talent within the industry. Blah, blah, blah. They keep talking about how important all this stuff is to them and all that shit. What's interesting is YouTube has already begun recruiting of a formidable team, with one source pegging the number at 50 engineers with expertise in the streaming industry. And that's a pretty big statement of intent, one source said. Blah, blah, blah. They're going to talk way more about this at E3, June 16th to
18th. I'm... that was bizarre. Sorry. My ringtone is, of course, Super Player. I don't know why. I've never gotten a phone call, I guess, with the sound turned off.
It's not even my phone. I don't know why it's in my pocket.
Sorry. I stole this from a child today.
All right, so YouTube, it's gonna have a Twitch competitor, and they're gonna announce it or talk about it at E3. They had YouTube Live for all these years. About 4 years ago, I think they launched it, and like they'd always do like big music festivals and all that stuff. And I think the first thing they ever did was some random sport that Americans don't play.
Cricket
or some shit like that, right? Yeah. They showed cricket, and then people were like, they heard crickets, and then.
Oh,
then gaming started, so they started doing more live stuff. At IGN, we used to use it all the time. But it's Google Plus came out. There's Google Hangouts, and people use Google Hangouts in the live. Google's always had they've done live. They do it pretty well. But then Twitch came and was like, "Yo, we're gonna eat your lunch better than you."
I'm really excited for it because I feel like they could push each other. I mean, competition, right? They're gonna push each other to do better. If you look at the streaming industry right now, Twitch is like the king, and if you look at anywhere else, like I don't know, Hitbox, I think it's called, or even MLG TV would be the best example. Everything is a copy of Twitch and what they do. So I think that they could do things that could be very interesting. And just push
someone needs to push Twitch.
Yeah,
that's what we've talked about. The messaging is terrible. Like the actual messaging system is terrible. The fact that there's not on-demand archives forever that play and don't buffer forever is terrible. The fact that you embed the player and it's like 4x3 and little and small, it's like, what is going... I thought when they got all the Amazon money, they would quickly start flipping switches and making it a better experience, but then like 2 weeks ago, it was down for all over the place.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's funny because Amazon made sense. There's a sort of parallel nature between Amazon and Twitch in the sense that Amazon has a very viable streaming service that I think rivals and is even better than Netflix in some ways. So you would think that it would work better, but they're not in the same wheelhouse, and it almost makes you wish that YouTube actually was the one that bought Twitch. And they tried, but you know, that would have made more sense and fit more like a puzzle piece into what they were doing. That said, I'm interested to see like what it's all about. I like Twitch. I'm not like crazy impressed by it. Like I think that seems a little, I don't want to say antiquated, but it just seems a little... It's not antiquated. That's not the right word at all. But it's lacking. You know what I mean? Like, it's not consistent. YouTube's consistent. In my experience using it, maybe not on the back end. It's certainly not consistent. Yeah. But on the front end, it is very consistent. And so it makes you wonder like what they can do. And certainly my mind's open to what possibilities are there for us as a unit and for Colin and Greg Live and everything too. Just in the sense that I want to go, you know, the competition, like Alfredo was saying, will breed excellence or breed something that is better than exists already. But I don't know. You assume an average engineer in Silicon Valley makes about, I don't know, 150. And they have 50 of those guys that they just hired and gals. So, I mean, they're putting an impressive amount of capital into it. But that's like, you know, Google wipes its ass with that much money. But it's you know, but they are putting time and effort into figuring it out. My question to you guys, because you know this better than I do, is wasn't there a platform called Ustream?
Yeah, I mean, Ustream is still a thing.
And that doesn't, they don't know.
There's a whole bunch of different, like, streaming platforms. But it's the same thing like YouTube. Like, Dailymotion's still a thing. AOL Video's still a thing. Like, they just don't matter. Like, they're... exist and enough people use them for them to sustain themselves, but it's like they're not YouTube.
Yeah, like who's using Ustream is like a
Joe Rogan
uses Ustream.
I think we were just talking about this yesterday with Nick, but he exclusively uses Ustream as his like
interesting
streaming platform.
He must get money for that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's why do people use like all these other ones? There's deals, you know, and there's like some people sign contracts and they're stuck using exclusive platforms and all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of pro Call of Duty players that got exclusive deals with MLG TV when they started really pushing that their own platform, mm-hmm. and so that's why they all flocked over there.
Are they seeing growth on these platforms via these? You know, like is Ustream growing too? Is MLG growing too?
I mean, I'm sure. I don't know about the MLG, but like with the Ustream, with Joe Rogan specifically, I'm sure it's just that's what his audience uses. So it's kind of like with our audience in Twitch, where I mean, I don't have the hard numbers, but I'm pretty sure most of our audience we brought to Twitch, not. They were at Twitch and kind of like...
Oh, no, we brought that up on the show, I think, and people did confirm that anecdotally.
Yeah, so it's like, I think it's the same thing, where it's just like, Joe Rogan said, go on Ustream, so his audience went on Ustream. What I'm interested about is, like, I love the competition angle of this, because it's going to push things to be better, because Twitch needs to be pushed farther, and YouTube needs to be pushed farther, because YouTube is owning the on-demand video shit. Twitch is owning the live video shit. So they both need to get better in the other ways. It worries me that instead of focusing at what they're good at, they're going to start trying the other stuff and just messing it up. Like even like I saw there was an update to Twitch today. Like the mobile apps have like the auto playing videos just like the YouTube does. And that's great. But it's like the more they focus on all this other stuff that YouTube already does well, instead of like focusing, pushing what they're doing to make it even better, it's just going to be – then we're just going to have two things. And that – sucks in a lot of ways.
But I mean, will they? I mean, if YouTube gets it together and comes out with a streaming platform that doesn't like right when we had to go use YouTube, right? The comments where it's buffering, it's doing this YouTube thing, da da. If they can sort out those problems, then I mean, would we stick around with Twitch? It would solve so many problems for us.
That's my thought too. Is I actually think that YouTube has every opportunity to squash Twitch.
Well, I mean, that's
and I don't think that it's going to. I don't think it's possible the other way. Like Twitch might. Oh, Twitch might master. Like I actually think that YouTube could destroy Twitch.
Well, I mean, that's kind
of. And I don't think that Twitch could destroy YouTube.
What I'm saying is like I don't want Twitch to be focusing so much on trying to be YouTube. Like YouTube, yeah, they have the money and the all the different things to do that. And like it's shocking how bad, quote unquote, their live experience is. It's really not that bad. We're just fucking spoiled.
Yeah.
Like we're at a point now where it's like if things aren't perfect and we don't have all these great
periscoping
features,
from my phone.
Yeah, like we're super mad about stuff, but it's like their service is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But then there's things that Twitch has that need to be on YouTube, like moderators. But then again, it's like, why don't YouTube videos in general have moderators?
Right.
That's something that needs to happen. Yeah. Like, there's all these dumb little things that they can add or learn from Twitch, like the multi-Twitch. What's that called?
Oh, yeah, multi-Twitch streaming is amazing.
It's awesome when you get to watch two people streaming at once, like, see both their chat rooms and all that stuff. Like, that's great, and YouTube needs all that shit. And we'll see. I mean, we've talked to people. Like, they are trying to push gaming and trying to do all that stuff. I think, to me, the biggest news from this is the fact that they're talking about it at E3.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard this rumor being gone or whatever. Did they say where?
That's what we were talking about when we first talked about it. Okay. I was like, I wonder if they will do it during one of the conferences.
Yeah, you
feel
they
so,
have to.
And if so, maybe. Like, it doesn't make any business sense, as Tim had brought up, for them to do that. It makes great business sense for someone like Sony or Microsoft to give YouTube space, especially if they've worked out an exclusive deal with them, which is entirely possible, because that's going to help them with the hardcore gaming segment. You know?
But as we were talking about, Bless you. We hope that doesn't happen.
That's enough.
Damn. We hope that doesn't happen, because if it's like Twitch was when it first came out and it was only on Xbox, right? And PS4 got it later.
No, PS4 still doesn't have a Twitch app.
Okay, well, exactly. That's a freaking issue. You know, completely. And I really would not want to see YouTube come out with PlayStation and be like, yeah, Xbox, you'll get it one day. It's like, no, this needs to be a big thing for gamers, all gamers.
Right.
All the people that are into streaming, all the people that are into watching videos, like this needs to be a huge movement, and that will be a big step towards not killing Twitch, but at least getting a bigger piece of that market share that they need. And the trust of the people, like, really it comes down to the people streaming. Like, what's going to convince Alfredo to leave Twitch?
Well, see, that's the thing, though, that I worry about is, will they start implementing contract restrictions, right? And I think it's already in the Twitch contract. I don't know. I just remember when Twitch was down during those weeks, there was a lot of Twitch partners with larger channels that were saying, hey, guys, be careful if you're a partner and you decide to stream on a different platform. It's like against
the
terms of service, I think.
Yeah, like to me, when I think about this situation, I think about YouTube and I think about Twitch as platforms. Because we're talking about the difference between, and the inherent difference between, a streaming service and then a VOD service, right? And I think that, in fact, you know, YouTube has mastered VOD. Twitch has not mastered streaming. So that gives them, like, YouTube pioneered what we think about when we think about video on demand on the internet. And that, frankly, is a way more important pillar to have mastered. So, like, the hard work for them is actually done. Like, the supplemental part of, like, having a streaming service that works better is kind of like icing on the cake of YouTube already dominating that space, which is why I think that Twitch should be very afraid mm-hmm. of YouTube. Because, and certainly, like I said, my mind's open to see like what we will do with YouTube when they start rolling this stuff out, because YouTube is a more prolific platform. There are way more people over there. It makes a lot more sense inherently to be there. Twitch has to master VOD, which is good, but that is the more important piece of the puzzle. I mean, we see that with Colin and Greg Live, where it's like, if you're not there for the stream, you're kind of fucked. You know, especially if you're not a Twitcher that, or a Twitch user rather, that like pays to have more than a 14-day catalog, a back catalog. There's a lot of problems for them to solve. I think YouTube's going in for the killing blow. I got to be totally honest with you. Like, I don't think that like this is kind of like a piecemeal kind of thing. I think they're going to try to kill them, you know? And I think that that's what a business does. YouTube has done it to countless companies already. You know, look at our low tolerance for something like Vimeo. When we were trying to use Vimeo for like video on demand for Patreon users, we were just like, fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, this shit sucks. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't working for us or whatever. YouTube works, and so we use it. If they can get to that point with streaming, then Twitch is in a lot of trouble. And yeah. I think that moreover, I'm interested to see like how they approach the esports kind of, you know, goal in terms of the games that people watch, which is not only Call of Duty and stuff like that, not only Evo, but more like MOBAs and stuff like that. Are there people that are just loyal to Twitch?
I mean, yeah,
you know, and that's the thing you have to kind of think about.
I mean, I think it's that, but it's also just the stuff that like I don't think YouTube will ever do, and like I would love to be proven wrong on this, but like, yes, they're gonna try to go for the killing blow, and honestly, they're definitely capable of doing that, but they do have Amazon money on Twitch's side, so it's like they could fight back. Like, they're one of the few people now that actually can fight back. But I think that Twitch has such unique things, like just the emoticon, like such the culture of it, emoticons and tipping and like all these different things.
Yeah, YouTube just has to copy that and then improve on it.
But that's the thing.
They'll know they're a copy.
Like, they'll know they're a copy, but I just don't see them doing that stuff. And at the end of the day, guess what? You have to use your Google Plus to leave comments on YouTube. You're gonna have to use your Google Plus to whatever. It's because Google has this ecosystem already, and like they're already doing it on YouTube, and it's already annoying just for commenting. Like, imagine having to do all that stuff for the features we like on Twitch.
The thing that's interesting for Colin and I think is that we're speaking from a very specific case. And our effect in the frustration of people, I'm on Android, so I can't stream it. I'm not at a computer, so I can't look at your on-demand. It's like all these different things for us with our show, right? For your huge Twitch streamers that have an audience and have subs and have all this, they probably don't look at it as enticingly as we do. Mm-hmm. Whereas for us, it's simple. If the YouTube app is going to let you stream it everywhere and be everywhere and it's done and it ends and it goes right to on-demand and it's silky smooth, that's big for us in the content we produce.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's should be worrisome for Twitch in terms of what's going to happen from
I'd be very worried.
But I don't think it's necessarily as bad as we think it is. It's just maybe for us it is.
No, but I think they should be very worried. I because it goes both ways. Like, because we talk about, you know, YouTube is obviously owned by Google. They weren't always, but Amazon is one of those companies that can match them dollar for dollar for a lot of their investments, but just having that kind of blow by blow means that it's the company already with the advantages inherently that it's going to win, and YouTube has a lot of the advantages already. So that's the only point I'm trying to make.
I hear you. No, I agree.
Is that like YouTube is already winning, even though they're losing in the streaming thing? Like they're probably going to be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to be fine no matter what, because it's like, I mean, really, no matter what way you look at it, they're winning already. Like, even right now, they're winning. It's just like in the hardcore gamer's mind and stuff. Like, Twitch is where they go to whatever.
And that's
like
the thing, is I don't think you're going to see those people go away. The Twitch audience is such a different beast. Our audience is YouTube, Twitter, whatever. We brought them with us. But the Twitch audience that's already there and is already so used to sponsors and doing this and emoticons and private chat and this, that, and they're not going to worry. They're not going to miss a beat.
On the other side
fringe
of it, it's
cases like us.
I'm one of the biggest YouTube fanboys in the damn world. But it's like, to me, it's like I almost want Twitch to come out on top of this just so that it's not entirely controlled by Google and YouTube. Just because I like the idea that they're not only just the competition, but just the fact that not all of the revenue coming in and not all of the audience. Like, yes, you want your entire audience in one place. That's great. But it's like, it's also nice to have different audiences in different places for different projects. And
yeah, we that's have, what we and do. We have that.
And, yeah, and we do. And we'll lose that, you know?
We may. I mean, like, this is my approach to this, is like, I want YouTube and Twitch to both talk to us. And I'm not meaning literally like sit us in a room and talk to us, but both of them need to talk to us as a company and make their pitches. And we go where, you know, where it makes the most sense.
Or both. Both is an
option. And that's the other thing too, is that I my assumption is that we will eventually be doing both.
Yeah.
The and I think that makes sense for a lot of different reasons, certainly for business reasons. The bigger thing is, you know, like we were saying before, just how they associate themselves with publishers and developers and organizations that stream games, like the whole esports thing. Like, I don't understand esports, really. I don't understand why it's even called esports. But, like, this is an electronic sport. I know, but it's not a sport. Like, playing MOBA or Call of Duty is not a sport, right? But, like, this is a big thing that...
Shots fired.
This is a big... It's not. It's not a sport. I play chess. It's not a sport.
Shots fired or facts fired?
Oh!
Like, it's... But, like, you know, like, playing football is a sport. I mean, just by definition. Like, these are competitive video games, which is, doesn't detract them, you know?
So, a team-based activity. Anyway. E-team-based activity.
I like that.
Like, whatever you want to call it. Competitive video gaming, whatever it is. It doesn't mean it's not fun or good or that people aren't good at it. I just understand why it's called esports. That's an entirely different thing, and I've wondered that for years. But, yeah, like, there's these big groups of people that they have to just figure out how to crack or whatever. I mean, obviously, like, we pull good numbers on Colin and Greg, but it's, like, nothing like... You know, when I tune in to watch League of Legends or something like that, just to see what I don't even know what the fuck's going on in League of Legends, but like I just like to see the numbers. I'm like, holy Christ, there's like 250,000 people watching this. I mean, that's more people watching that at that moment than is watching like a syndicated daytime TV show like Maury Povich or something. Like, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the scale's there and the money can be made on Twitch for sure. But this has all the signs of YouTube like planning something huge, you know, and they're being very clear about it. I mean, they're not trying to hide anything.
Yeah,
if I was them, I would actually try to hide it.
I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is they've already launched it, and like it sucks because it's like I want Google to just be fucking perfect because in so many ways they've done so much things right. Email, fuck yeah, Gmail's awesome.
Yeah, Gmail.
You know, YouTube overall is fucking awesome. Then there's a couple things like Google Plus where it's like, what are you thinking? Like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Even Google has to fail sometimes, which is nice to see that.
But it's weird, though. It's weird that, like, I feel like...
They just feel like they have to be...
There's been a ton of different things not recently, but, like, in the past, like, 10 years that's just like, oh, man, why wasn't that as cool as it should have been? You know? I mean, Drive's awesome, but it still has its issues.
Yeah, it's... To me, it's that they just try to do... Google has very few new ideas. They just have money to go in and buy other people's products and refine them. You know, like YouTube was started on its own. They bought YouTube and made it better. Gmail is not the original email client. It's just a superior email client. You know, like Google Plus was supposed to be Facebook. Like, so like, it's not like they're not coming up with new ideas. Google Maps is awesome, but it was not the first digital map program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like they don't come up really with a ton of new ideas. They come up with ways to improve upon them. It reminds me, what was that... BASF, remember those old commercials for BASF? They're like this really weird, huge company that doesn't make anything. They just make the products better. And their commercials used to be like, we don't make the vacuum you use. We make it stronger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't make the concrete you build
stronger
with. We make it, you know, like we make it, you know, like we make it more, you know, viable, whatever like that. Like, so, and that's like, that reminds me of Google where like they don't, they're inventive and they're ingenious, but their genius is actually in finding things that they're bad at that other people are good at and then copying those things or doing their own version of it. And it's not always going to work. And I like that it doesn't always work. Google Plus is a disaster. I mean, like, the reason that its numbers are so high, like, Greg has, like, 2 million people on or whatever, is because it's, like, totally fucking ridiculous. Like, it's not, because people are on Facebook. That is that. And people are on Twitter, so they're not going to try to copy Twitter. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll try to buy them one day. And, you know, although I guess Twitter's public, so that's not really going to happen. And, you know, they came up with, like, a Gmail client that works or whatever, so they're going to have their wins and their losses, but they, you know... I guess what I'm saying is that I have every confidence that what they're going to do with YouTube is going to make it way better. And they're going to learn, and they're going to learn a great deal from what they didn't do already. And they tried to buy Twitch, so it's not like they knew.
Yeah.
They knew what they wanted, and since they couldn't have it, they're just going to make it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I agree with you completely. I do think that it's going to be awesome. It's just like, it scares me that they've already had a live product, and they've had a live product forever, and it wasn't perfect. Like, it wasn't, and even this is when Twitch was existing. It's not like Twitch just came up out of nowhere. Like, Twitch has been around a couple years now. So it's interesting they haven't already adopted those changes. But at the same time, like, there's no reference to YouTube Live anymore on the front page. Like, that used to be, like, a big featured thing. And, like, I can't remember the last time I saw it. Unless it was, like, an actual live event going on at that
moment.
Sure,
they're probably going dark. Which makes...
Yeah. So it makes sense. That's really interesting. And earlier you were saying, Greg, that they got all this Amazon money. So, like, the things aren't being fixed. I think it's just too early. Like, it takes time to spend money, and like, it takes time to like make that.
But I mean, like,
happen.
I mean, I think about VidCon and I think about how YouTube communicates everything, right? And like, I would just something like they're just radio silent on the issues people have with their site and their apps and everything else. And it gives you the. I mean, that's the biggest threat. mm-hmm. is that YouTube's going to have this press conference or whatever they're going to do, and they're going to say, look at this, it's all this, it does this, it does, and then Twitch, no matter what their next step is they are playing catch up.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been working on our thing too. Android guys, you're going to get it soon. On demand's getting, it's just by that point, it's like, well, are you going to be here by the time they just said they're going to be here?
Well, Twitch is very much about their community. So what they do instead is just have small, like they have like conferences at like PAX and stuff. And then they have just everyone there come up and ask questions.
Well, now they have TwitchCon.
But now they have TwitchCon coming up. But the issue there is that people just end up coming up to ask questions, like tech issues, which they shouldn't be answering that. They should be just talking about like how they're going to improve the
like
platform.
A roadmap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which they did a couple conferences back, but now it's more just like, oh, I have problems with this. Why isn't this working? And then they answer that. So I don't know.
It's just that we need a platform as a business that and same with Alfredo now that he's struck out on his own is like, we live and die now by the way these things work.
Yep.
And my patience with Twitch is actually diminishing pretty rapidly. So like, I'm just eager to see what happens, to see if, like, I'm not going anywhere. I like Twitch, and they've been good to us.
We have a great
like
community. They're great people. They're helpful,
exactly,
to us. I'm not trying to put down Twitch.
No, not at all. But, like, we need it to just work.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, that is – it frankly shouldn't be that complicated. Like,
but there's also
I'm not
cost
an engineer,
involved.
But come on.
There's a cost involved with that, though, and that's, I think, my biggest worry with YouTube is known for 50%. Like, they'll just fucking take 50%. It's like, yeah, it works. Deal with it.
Good point.
You're going to go somewhere else? And it's like Twitch, because they're playing catch-up, it's like, hey, we'll give you a little bit more. We'll work with you a little bit more. We'll promote you a little bit more. Like,
sure.
All these
that's
things that,
point.
Like, it's just interesting. I don't know. But I'm very excited. Like, I'm more excited for this E3 than I've been for E3 in a long time.
Because of this YouTube
Just because
thing.
Of this.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge. This could be, like, I mean, obviously, I'm in very invested because of what we do and stuff.
Yeah.
But also, just as a fan of content. Like, this, I love this. This is a fucking, like, huge fuck you to Twitch, which is great, because then Twitch is gonna say, oh, we got a bigger dick than you do, though.
That's all I want. All
I just want to see the dicks.
I love what's happening with us on Twitch. I love that they are the underdog. They're the renegades. If you want to play music, fine, we'll get you in the back end, but we're not gonna get you while you're live or anything. Great, just fucking fix the on demand, fix stability. Like, just that's all I want you to do. Just do that and make, you know, recognize and admit that you hear us. You know what I mean? I don't feel like we're being heard in that one sense. You know what I mean? Like, where is the solution to that? What is the roadmap? That's all I want from them.
Yeah.
If they say that before or right after, I'll be fine.
It's a similar thing we talk about with, like, I am loyal to the people. Like, you dance with the one who brought you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have an inherent loyalty to the people that were there when we were, I don't want to say small or whatever, because we're small still. We're very small, like Fly By Night Outfit. But, like,
before we were
anything at all, like, it was the people that were there that helped us, whether it's, whether it's our representatives that help us on YouTube, or whether it's YouTube itself, or whether it's Twitch now. Like, I am actually very loyal to the people that were there when we were more and more insignificant, because I think they were there to help us. Yeah. And so I'm it's funny, because if there's a scale and YouTube and Twitch are on it, and Twitch is just a little bit lower than YouTube, I'll actually still go with Twitch. You know what I mean? Because they were really there for us. But if it's going to be like this, then you got to make the choice that's best for your business. And, like, frankly, it's dollars and cents to us right now, because we need, like, if we lose out on Colin and Greg one day because Twitch isn't up, we're losing money. I mean, it's money. We're eating it, you know? And so there is a business reality to it, too. Not only a loyalty, you know, kind of thing to it, but...
Well, and the loyalty to the fans. It's like, when the Twitch is out and it's like, the show's not there, we get 4,000, 5,000 people waiting to watch the show, and it's not there.
And then we go and do it on YouTube, and then every 4 minutes, someone's asking the chat, "Where are you guys seeing it?"
Because
they just, you know, there's no way to put.
Well,
like,
that's how live works.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny too. I mean, the other things we have to look at is, like, when we did do that one episode on YouTube, it did and is still doing extraordinarily well. And it's like, wow, like that video on demand component is essential. So I think that's the thing that they really. Yeah, I agree with you. They have to fix that. But I'm most interested. I'm not interested in what they're even going to say. I'm interested in who they're going to say it with.
Yep.
I do not think they're going to do their own conference.
Nintendo.
There is a very rigorous way to do things at YouTube. People always wonder, like, why does Sony always go last on Sunday? Because Sony always goes last on Sunday. There is a tradition, you know, like all the publishers go in order, and that order has been chosen a long time ago. I have no idea how the fuck it happened. It mostly probably has to do with the times and spaces in which they locked down for 10 years or whatever, when they, you know, originally to the Coliseum or whatever the fuck they were doing it. And where does YouTube fit into that? Who knows? Bethesda had to go the day before because they can't even fit into that schedule.
Yeah,
because
it's
locked.
Their way.
So I don't. It would make sense for YouTube to do it on their own, but I think it would make sense for these other companies to entice them to do it with them. Even if YouTube is not, it reminds me of, like, Batman, right? Like, a game like Batman is at PS4's conference, right, last year.
Sure.
But it's coming the same day to Xbox One. It just makes Sony look like they have a huge dick.
Yeah.
And I think that if YouTube, like, does the same thing where they're like, oh, we're going to go with Microsoft, even though it's going to come to Sony platforms and Nintendo or whatever, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it still makes Microsoft look like they're a power player.
I would love that, man. I really hope that is what happens. At the same time, the wording on this is interesting because there's been many years that during E3, Apple's WWDC events happening at the exact same time, but it's not at E3. It's like NSF. And the fact that they're saying they're at E3 is interesting. It's not during E3. It's at E3. So I hope that they're at one of the conferences. I don't think they'll do their own thing.
No, because I think that – I mean, people are going to be interested and they're going to go, but journalists and media are already spread thin. Everyone already hates that Sunday anyway and that Monday, you know, for like just logistical reasons. So adding another stop on the fucking tour of misery for all these people that have to go to all these different things is like not going to be very helpful.
Sure. Another option is to take the Nintendo Direct route and just put a YouTube video up.
Yeah.
You know, during E3.
They should do a Twitch live stream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good.
And then be like, look, you see how it's not working right?
All right. Moving on. Topic number three, Kevin. Guilty pleasure games.
Hmm.
Do you guys have any games that you just feel nasty playing?
Nasty.
Matrix Reloaded?
Oh, man.
Really?
Going back. No, wait, no. Enter the Matrix.
Enter the Matrix, yes.
The one that was totally like rushed.
It was rushed, garbage, everything. But I had so much fun going into like slow-mo bullet time and like shooting people up and say that. And I put way too many. I bring this up all the time, but I put way too many hours into Perfect Dark Zero.
You wanted that game to be good.
I did.
So bad. Alfredo.
And I played like 60 hours of that MP. It was terrible.
He
controlled
put so much time into it. He bought the books. He read all the books. He's like, dude, the story's good. I swear the story's good. It's like, I don't think the story's good, Alfredo. You were lying.
It was just, yeah.
But yeah, I remember you played that a lot.
More than I should have played it.
Something tells me, Colin, that you have
a treasure trove.
Well, I have a ton of guilty pleasure games. Just because I talk a fucking mean game about more casual games, more touch centric games, but when they come to a platform I actually want to play, then I'll start playing them. So like the Vita is a good example of like games that like Men's Room Mayhem or Nun Attack or something like that, where it's like these are like very iOS games that like
Nun Attack. Please explain.
Nun Attack is a game where you play as nuns and they're all like holding like machine guns and stuff like that, like different guns, and you're like just using the touchscreen to like direct them to fight enemies. They're a surprisingly engaging game, but what's so funny, and it shows my own hypocrisy in a way, is that they're iOS games that were ported to a platform that I actually want to play, so I play them. And so
once you get trophies, you're fine.
Yeah, and it's just I don't know, I don't want to play phone games. Like, but if they come to other platforms, I'll play.
So Men's Room Mayhem.
Yeah, I love that.
Explain.
Game. Men's Room Mayhem was a game that was made by a few dudes that used to work at Sony Liverpool, I think, right?
Is that right?
And Sony Liverpool closed. Those were the guys that did like Wipeout and Colony Wars and stuff. And it's a game where you are in a bathroom, in a bar, or in a restaurant. And there's like 8 different levels or whatever. And you have to just direct people coming in and out so they can pee and shit and wash their hands without like colliding with each other and not spending too much time.
So it's like Diner Dash, but
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. There's an undeniable hook to more casual games, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of my favorite games of last generation is Plants vs. Zombies, and I wouldn't consider that rather a guilty pleasure, but that is a casual game that introduced a lot of people to what we know as tower defense, but they never had played a game like that before. So there's a lot of games like that, especially on Vita, that I download for $2 or $3 or $5 and go crazy with it. But my ultimate guilty pleasure game is Naughty Bear for sure.
Naughty!
Because I authentically love that fucking game. And that's like not a joke. You know, like I love that game, but it runs at like a solid 5 or 6 frames a second. And
it's solid though.
It is a solid, yeah.
the frames you're seeing are definitely solid frames. Mm.
But I'm trying, like, I have more guilty pleasure, like music and stuff than anything like that. But with games are so time consuming. I've actually come around, we decided when we kind of signed the great trophy armistice in 2011 that we were going to stop playing shitty games for trophies because we were like at each other's throats with that. And I put Greg away a long time ago, to be fair. But I stopped playing games that were shitty just for trophies. And a lot of those were guilty pleasure games.
Yeah.
Like when you got the Hannah Montana Platinum.
Yes. For the record, that was not part of the armistice. It was like, we want to cheat. We want to do this kind of stuff.
But we stopped. But
you agreed to stop playing stuff. I remember when I was still trying to be a part of this, when I was still a PlayStation team head, I was still playing shitty games that I wanted to. Because that was always your crutch for why I was beating you. That's why you did it. You didn't. You just did it to have the higher hill. And then once I left the PlayStation team, you overtook me, as it should be.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you now.
Yeah,
I remember Alfredo. You got pretty down that game.
Oh, in terms of achievements.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got to the point where I started a GameFly subscription, and then I started renting games purely for achievements.
Oh, sure.
And I was achievement whoring.
Mm-hmm. I got Penguins to, like, in Madagascar.
Yeah, got to like 50k, but it was just. I don't know. I just got to the point where I was like, why?
Yeah. Oh, that, like, happens to everybody.
Like a cheap whore after.
Why am I doing this? Why am I spending 30 hours in a flight simulator game that I don't care about just to get 1,000 gamer score?
There was, like, a game. Not... I remember there was one specific game that I came over to your house and you were playing. I was just like, what are you doing right now? I don't remember what it was.
King Kong?
There was a lot. Yep. No, I played King Kong.
That was one of the easiest ones I remember.
Yeah, that was easy. Avatar, whatever the Airbender game was.
Oh, yeah, the one you just hit B for, yeah, like, what was it? For like 7 minutes. Like, it wasn't long. Yeah,
and you get like 1K in gamer score. That was simple.
Yeah.
I would literally just get it in, like, play it for a super short amount of time, and then send it right back out. Yeah. But yeah, no, just, yeah, it was like, why am I doing this?
Terminator Salvation.
I'm spending so much time.
That game was hard, too.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Well, you're talking about the iOS games. I don't so much consider them guilty pleasures because, like, they are just games. But it's just, like, the fact that they're not hardcore and, like, whatever. And if you're with real gamers, they're going to judge you. But, like, Jetpack Joyride took way too much of my life away from me.
I do remember that phase you had.
But the thing about that game is, have you guys played it?
Oh, yeah.
It just, like, it's such a simple thing. It reminds me of the old Flash games with the helicopter just going through.
Sure.
You hold the mouse up, like, click it, and it goes through. But this had power-ups. This had vehicles. This had this, like, upgrade system. And I was like, this is amazing game design. I never spent a penny on it. And it's like, that's what I love. I kept coming back to it. But then you reach this point where you're like, why? Like, why am I putting more time into this? Why do I need the Ultimate Dragon vehicle unlocked? I don't.
Sounds fucking awesome.
But it's like, if I get that, it'll make it easier to unlock the next thing. It's like, oh, they got me. Yeah. That's it. They got me. But Kingdom Rush was another one where it's just like, spent way too much time with that. And now my newest addiction is Peggle in any form.
Peggle's awesome. It's
like, my God.
But that's not even a guilty pleasure. Peggle's awesome.
It is. But
I guess that's Peggle, what are you
Peggle
defining?
Peggle Blast is a guilty, right. Sick, fucking, twisted desire.
And this is the one you have to quit out of, right?
Yeah. And I do. Oh, God, Greg.
So
I
you
do.
Don't. So you don't get hung up on the microtransactions, yeah, or whatever. You quit.
You can do this
hard
thing.
Quit.
Thanks to you guys for letting me know. Like, during the boss fights, which you have to beat 5 levels in a row, and it's designed. It's like an arcade game that, like, is designed to, like, eat quarters. This is designed to make you fucking pay for items and shit. Mm-hmm. I ain't doing that. So it's like, if you, in between matches, quit the game, it'll reset your lives.
Huh.
Oh, man. I do it.
Speaking of Peggle, and it's kind of off topic, but, like, on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays. Greg, we hit 400 subs, so I was like, all right, cool, for that milestone we're gonna do a 12-hour stream. Plus I'm gonna teach my grandma how to play a game on stream. Peggle is one of the games I'm choosing.
When is this happening?
This is happening this coming Saturday.
Okay, so if you're a Patreon subscriber,
yeah,
getting
yeah,
this on Thursday, Friday.
That's
Saturday. I'm going to teach you how to play Peggle.
Amazing.
And then other games.
Alfredo's grandma, one of the best human beings in the entire world.
Yeah, shit's about to get real.
She's a god. Like,
I'll get his grandma.
Oh my, yeah, we could.
We need a
Gma emote.
Gma emote.
But Alfredo's grandma, like, the closest person I can relate to her is Nick Scarpino, just in the sense of, like, she's so cool and, like, she's so funny and she's so
out
much more ridiculous than, like, than you would think. But then once you hang out with her for like 5 minutes, you're like, how does a person like this actually exist?
Yeah.
It's a real good time. They should meet. That would
bring her to the live show.
Yeah, the live show.
Yeah. Oh God, that's gonna be an adventure. Live show, May 16th, San Francisco.
Oh, so
one
for that.
Night only.
bit.ly/kindoffunnylive.
Yeah, there you go.
One night.
I'm trying to think of other games. I mean, definitely know during the PS2 era there was a lot of bad ones. DDR. I had a really bad. I mean, I love DDR and it's a good game.
So here's this is what you need to explain it for the audience. What are you're starting to skew? What is your definition of a guilty pleasure?
Because
I mean,
DDR doesn't seem like guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
What isn't?
That doesn't seem like a guilty pleasure game.
Here's the thing. I'm embarrassed by it, so I think it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, guilty pleasure is kind of subjective.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that guilty pleasure needs to be like...
For me, I was going to say I don't have any guilty pleasure. But I mean, like, if we're in a, like, we're talking about, like, oh, the games I've played for trophies or games I've played for longer than, like, my 86 hours of Mario Golf World 2 or my 600 hours of DC Universe Online, those are still achievements for me. I'm still very proud of all of those numbers. But if that.
You can be proud of your guilty pleasures.
Okay.
Though.
You ain't no nerd?
Ain't you no nerd?
But yeah, I put way too much time into DDR. like in all of its incarnations, including like without the dance pad. Like I just like hitting the buttons. I just like rhythm games though. So it's like there might be that, but it's like I played like all the DDR games from like the PS1 generation. I didn't play any of the PS3, so it was just PS1, PS2 era. But that included like DDR Mario Mix on GameCube. Yeah, I was all about that shit. Mm-hmm. That was fun. But like, yeah, buying that, I felt weird. Definitely felt weird.
When you feel weird buying it.
I felt weird buying Space Channel 5 on the Dreamcast.
See, I think it's this music thing. Music games. Because Karaoke Revolution, Volumes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Big fan of that game. But it's like, I shouldn't have been.
So like, guilty pleasure for me, SingStar. Mm-hmm. I should be, is that one? Because I have all the videos of me in a Ghostbuster outfit dancing.
The subjectiveness of it is that if you're not embarrassed, if like, Tim felt like he should have been embarrassed.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't, though. I should have been, but I wasn't. I think that's for me, the guilty pleasure thing. It's just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm going to do me. It's what I do.
Do you?
It's what got me this far.
Be me doing me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a good person to be.
Who's going
to
do me?
I'll do you.
There's a lot of people. Thank you. There, you Colin.
Thank you.
Yeah, guilty pleasure. I haven't ever really thought about it, about what exactly it means. But I feel like everyone does have a sense of the things that come in their head when they hear it. So that's what they are.
It's like how I'll argue that Superman Shadow of Apocalypse on PS2 is a pretty good Superman game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's also something called just a wrong.
No, it's not a wrong.
Trying to think of other ones. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, they're all music games that are coming to mind, but Spice World on
PS1, right?
Yeah, on PS1. I had a lot of fun with that. You can remix songs.
Yeah.
So I took
Disney's Britney's Dance Beat.
That was my next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a PS2.
Yeah.
Where you like twirled the analog sticks.
That was during my summer where Blockbuster debuted the Rent All You Want.
Yeah.
As many games out. And I went down the aisle getting every game. Like alphabetically, I was going to take home every game that summer.
That's so funny. I also got it for that same Blockbuster deal, but I was not going down. I just went straight for Britney.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was fun.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm. You always go straight for Britney.
Always.
Yeah.
All the time.
What if Christina Aguilera is there?
Oh yeah, she's rolling around in the sand. I'm about it.
Okay. Yeah, that Maxim cover. You know what I'm talking about?
I think she's talking about Genie in a Bottle.
In the sand or Britney in Schoolgirl?
Done. I mean, that's not even a fucking question.
This is the definitive argument.
I mean, I loved them both. I think Britney came a little earlier, and so I think that you know that imagery just really resonated with ninth grade Colin in a way.
Yeah,
that
yeah. It made you come earlier too. Real,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It happens. All right, let's move on. All right, we're going into the fourth topic, ladies and gentlemen.
Fourth quarter.
Have topics for the Kind of Funny Games cast, tweet them at me, at Tim Geddes. Or every week, I'll just ask you, and you'll tell us stuff, and it's going to be a good time. Just like at Brian_Nove asked, why does Nintendo hate Metroid?
It's a good question. I think that people often lose sight of something that is important when you're making a game. So what we talk about with Zelda too, although Zelda is not a great example of this, Metroid doesn't sell that well. Mm-hmm. And like that and that's we lose sight of that as hardcore engaged gamers and Nintendo fans. I fucking love Metroid. But Metroid Prime wasn't like this blockbuster hit at all. So and they made three of them.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like I think they actually might have even started selling worse. So they don't make Metroid games because they look at their books and they're like, well, we can have Retro do that or we can have Retro make Donkey Kong Country.
And
those games sell better. I mean, it's I've made the same kind of criticism. I'm like, why is Retro being made to make these fucking games when they can make...
They're great games.
I played a little bit of Tropical Freeze at when we were still at IGN, maybe for like a half an hour. I wasn't feeling it. I felt a little sluggish, a little heavy.
Tropical Freeze is awesome. It's very, very good.
It seems like a waste of their talent, but it doesn't...
I'll agree with that.
You can't only judge it based on that, though. It's the same thing we talk about with Naughty Dog, where everyone's like, well, why don't they make Jack and Daxter? It's like, first of all, why the fuck would you want them to make Jack and Daxter? Second of all,
exactly. Why would you want to make Jack and Daxter when they should be making Crash Bandicoot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they don't own that, of course. But they don't make Jack anymore because Jack was a diminishing return.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be business realities when you're making a game, when you're spending tens of millions of dollars, if not $50 or $100 million on making some of these games. Not that Metroid would cost that much. It's just that when you look at Metroid sales figures, they're just not that impressive. That series doesn't sell that well. I know that that's like a surprise to people because I love those games. I love the games on GBA and DS. I mean, they were great, but and obviously the NES and SNES classics and the Metroid Prime games. It's just you have to make. It's the same reason why they didn't make F-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like who's buying
and Star Fox?
Well, they're going to make Star Fox.
So wait, that's a surprise to me. Like, why does Metroid not sell?
Well, because it's kind of like it's just like obscure
niche. Or
it's just... not. I mean, it's not Halo. You know, it looks like it kind of is, but it's not. And it doesn't have the multiplayer aspects and it doesn't have all these other things. So it's like you don't get that the 13-year-olds talking about Metroid the way that you get them talking about Halo or Call of Duty or any of that type of stuff.
Makes sense.
So, and it's like, yeah, all of us are like, oh, we love Metroid. Why aren't they making Metroid? But it's like, then people aren't playing it. Like, we're playing it.
When was the last good Metroid? Was it Metroid Prime 3?
3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking. I was just on my phone because I'm looking. It says, so there are 12 Metroid games. And the Metroid series through 2012 has sold 17 million copies. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. They can make a Mario Galaxy game and sell half that much. So it's a matter of, like, you know, 12, you know, 17 divided by 12, that's going to be about 1.4 million copies a game. It's just not really a return.
Especially when all of them are just critically loved. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you said there was 7 of them?
No, there's 12.
12?
Yeah.
Holy shit, 12. All right, so there was Metroid 1, which is great.
Games. Here it is.
Metroid 2, which is pretty damn good.
So yeah, it's Metroid on NES, which is a great game. Metroid 2 on Game Boy, which is a great Game Boy game. Although...
But yeah, it just doesn't stand up against other stuff. Yeah. Super Metroid, amazing.
Right, so that's 3. Metroid Fusion was the next one, that's 4. And then Prime came out the same year, so that's 5.
Both of those amazing.
Then Fusion. Zero Mission, which is just a remake of the first one. And then Prime 2, Echoes, which is a great game.
Very good.
And then Pinball, which no one gave a shit
doesn't
about.
Doesn't count. Hunters.
Yeah, Hunters came out in 2006. Then Corruption came out in 2007.
Good.
Then the Trilogy came to Wii.
Doesn't count.
And then Other M, which is the
and
last
And then Other M. So Other M
so
is
I think
the...
that is 12. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, that's 12. That's 12. If you don't count the Trilogy, it's 11.
Yeah. Other M is the only one that's, like, not good.
I never played Other M. Ninja Theory, or not Ninja Theory, Team Ninja did that.
Yeah.
Game, which is totally weird.
Yeah.
I saw the baby Metroid, but it didn't know me.
So she talked the entire time. Like, winner's fucking bone.
Yeah, I love Metroid. I hope they get some shit for
I think they'll.
I was so hyped for Metroid Other M, too. Like, yeah, everything about that looked cool. The trailer was awesome, like an action game, like all that stuff. I was like, first person, third person, hell yeah. And then it was just like all the story elements, really, and just the fact that it was on Wii, so the controller, like, oof, you had to, like, hold it this way and then this way and do all that stuff. I think that game would have been way better if it had a better story direction and, like, didn't ruin Samus' characters and if it was on an actual controller. What the hell is Nick?
Nick's watching a reindeer.
All right.
I mean, the solution, right, is to put out a throwback like Mega Man, right? Do a Mega Man 9 or 10. Do a 16-bit
Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
Finally bring it out.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, it would be cool to give a company that would fucking murder for that game, like WayForward or Yacht Club, could do a lot of good by taking Metroid. I don't. There could be another thing too, which is maybe that Retro just doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I almost don't want Retro to do it. Like, they did that 3 times, 3.5 times.
Mm.
So it's like, no.
Stop.
All right. At Donald Jones says, if there were no exclusives, which home console would you buy and why? So in a world with no exclusives. So that really then comes down to controller, power of the console,
online,
user interface, and then online.
I am completely torn.
But,
yeah.
Why? Like, what tears you?
Xbox. I would go for the... I think the pros for that are they're online. And then if we're talking about PlayStation, the UI is just very responsive, which I like. And then if we're looking at controllers, I like the PlayStation 4 controller for stories and stuff. I can't do it for FPS. Like, FPS games, I just can't do the analog sticks like that. They have to be off-positioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I know, just very back and forth. I don't know, it's a tough one.
PS4 is more powerful, I think. I don't think it, which is weird, because I feel like it's so nominal. Like,
yeah.
Like a few people really get caught up on this shit. Mm. And I don't really care. I would go with PlayStation 4 just because that's where I've been. And that's kind of like where I, you know, but if there's no exclusives, I mean, then there's no, it's a weird question because if there's no exclusives, then there's no consoles because there's no reason to even have multiple consoles, mm-hmm. you know.
That's a good point.
You know, like,
so I can't have a PC. I need to have one of the consoles.
Yeah.
I mean, then it comes down to like, what do I mean?
I mean, for me, it's PlayStation just because I prefer the controller and for all the games
I play. The controllers never really get me hung up. Either way.
I do,
like,
man.
I'll admit, like, you know, last generation, I think the DualShock was at a disadvantage with those dumb triggers that slope down. Well, and
see, I personally still prefer the DualShock just because of the D-pad.
That's like, true. The D-pad is
to
awesome.
To me, the D-pad is super important for the games that I play. I don't give a fuck about the triggers.
Games
I don't
I
play first-person shooters.
I never touch D-pad. It's always just some extra stuff.
Fray was not about touching that D.
I think ultimately I'd go with Xbox. Just go with the controller and online. I think,
but I see, the thing about it is I think I'd be swayed to go Xbox if there was no exclusives and there was no, just because then it comes down to apps and shit, right? And they have the Twitch app, and they had HBO Go long before it, and they had YouTube long before it. And it's like, if I want more out of my device than just games, which will have every game that's everywhere else. But again, this question's weird because
it is a weird question.
It kind of aligns with the question that I'm asked all the time. People in my Twitch chat, they're just like, what console should I get this for? My answer is, or just like, what console should I get? And I'm just like, well, my answer to that is just like, well, they're like, oh, Destiny, PS4, Xbox One, like, which one should I get it for? My answer to that is just,
where are your friends?
Where are your friends at? Go there. Because, I mean, sure, you could do single player, but I feel like a lot of your experiences onwards are really based around your friends, right? So, yeah. Where are all your friends at?
Where are your friends at?
Where your friends at? All right. At Taylor Owen says, fears about Fallout 4? What do you think about multiplayer?
No!
I think that Bethesda is going to do us really proud. I really feel good about this game. We don't know anything about it. We don't know if it's real. It's clearly real. It's clearly going to be real at E3, and it will come out this year. The
hashtag Colin might be right.
Colin might be right. Probably is wrong. Remember I've been saying about The Last Guardian for 6 years. I think that they know that they can't fuck with this too much. I think that they realize that. I hope that they realize that, and I think they do. I think there'll be some sort of online component. I don't think that it's going to be like this overarching, like really important thing. I think it'll be like Borderlands. I think that's a really good parallel to it. You could play the entire game by yourself, and you will not know any difference. But if you want to play with a friend, maybe you can do that too. The only problem is that the game's going to be way more story-driven than Borderlands, assuming, you know, you assume. And so how they're going to work that out and all that kind of stuff remains to be seen, especially with choices. For instance, if like you play with a different player and you made different choices in the story and then come to each other, it's like, that can affect it. Can you not play with each other? It's complicated. That's why I think that the online interactivity in the game cannot be too deep. Like, it's just not going to work. Unless Fallout 4 is a completely different game than The Elder Scrolls and then Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero concerns about it. Todd Howard's a fucking G. Like, he's been doing this for a long time. He makes great fucking games. He's got a great team, but Bethesda Game Studios does what they do. Everyone looks at Bethesda as a studio or as a publisher, but their internal studio is insanely good. You know, they're self-titled studio, as it were. And I think you should have every faith that this is going to be a great game.
I believe in that world. I hope in that world. I would not want MMO Fallout. I would not want multiplayer Fallout. Like, for the reasons Fallout's always such a personal story. What your experience is, what you went out and found, what the story is, what connect. Oh, do I kill these ghouls? Oh my god, they don't seem like that bad. Like, when you talk, like, the reason multiplayer works in Borderlands so well, right, is the fact that the story is just goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Run around, shoot shit, and then here's a fart joke. You're like, all right, great, this is fun. Oh, what did he say? I don't know. We go to that thing and do that. Great, see. You know what I mean? Like, Fallout isn't that game. Fallout has this like undertone of seriousness, and I want to keep that.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Fallout guy?
I'm gonna confess a crime. I've never touch Fallout.
Oh man, that should definitely be one of his streams.
You played Skyrim though.
I did. I played a shit ton of Skyrim.
Same thing. It's just in post-apocalyptic with guns instead of medieval times with swords.
But I've been going back. I did The Last of Us this weekend. I'm gonna go back and do Uncharted and Fallout's definitely on that list. I fucking love that game. Yeah.
Did you cry?
MP was cool too.
Yeah, multiplayer is awesome.
I enjoyed multiplayer.
It's excellent.
At Mike Gronick asks, what are the biggest hard-hitting gaming questions that we've always been wanting answers for? Half-Life 3's release date.
Yeah.
Why does Nintendo keep fucking up?
The Last Guardian.
Last Guardian,
Well, just what happened.
In general.
Yeah, I mean, I think Half-Life 3 is probably the biggest mystery. And I think Half-Life 3 will happen. I think it's in development. But yeah, I don't know. I think you have to kind of answer those kind of questions more on the fly. Like, I don't really know. Like, I think that answer can be different next week.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Half-Life's a good one.
At Taylor Shelf asks, what are game series you hate that everyone else loves?
Game series you hate? Assassin's Creed is a great example of that for me.
I agree with that one.
I fucking hate that series. I can't stand it anymore. Like, that's like how, like, it's like, it's, I don't, because it's one of the, and I don't know if Alfredo agrees, it's really one of those things where I don't get how it got so big. I really don't. I'm like, I look at the game, I play the game, and I'm like, why? Why? It's fine, I guess. But it's not like this amazing, like, fucking mind-bending, mind-altering experience. Just not. Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, that was always so confusing to me, is, like, how, and I appreciate and respect that people like that game a lot more than I do. But man, I look at that series just being annualized every year, and I'm like, who is buying this? Mm.
The story didn't never really resonated with me. The combat felt, especially with the first, like, kind of two games, repetitive and clunky.
Sure.
And
clunky, I mean, two is what changed it and what set it onto this course, and where I fell in love with it, even though I don't, like, play them all that often anymore, which is in the fact that it was, like, it was an open world, in quotes, that I could go and do what I want and complete everything, and it was one of those games that had all the video game hooks that worked for you. And it, for me, overcame the fact that I had no idea what the fuck was happening in the story anymore and what was going on with these pieces of Eden and yada, 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 and fucking aliens and whatever the hell else they're doing, right? I just wanted to run around and buy every outfit and put on this thing and get down every painting and find every feather and do it. You know what I mean? Like, when you get lost in that, when the game design has so many great elements to it, like, you overlook the fact that, yeah, combat was repetitive, but I mean, I feel like that could be said by this one was in a very specific way repetitive, right? I'm just like, wait for the parry out of it, right?
Like four guys that each take their turns, like, slashing at you and your parry. Yeah.
But even that, like, I mean, the original Batman games were like that in a way, right? Like, you had to wait for your option to do it, and then they slowly put in more attacks and more things to counter and da-da-da-da. But, like, Arkham Asylum is similar in the way of, like, you can get through a button mash the entire time, but if you want the combos racked up and you want to be reversing at the right time and this, that, and the other, there's more to it. I'm not saying that it's exactly one and the same, but I think it's not that far off. You know what I mean? Now there's a bigger gap, I think, or whatever. But.
Yeah.
I think for me, and this is a really strong word because I don't want to say I hate it. I just don't understand why people love it so much and it just hasn't hooked me, is Animal Crossing.
Oh.
People fucking love that shit. Yeah. Like, people love that game on a level that I'm like, wow, you are addicted to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't pretend to get it either.
I just don't get it.
I played it on GameCube and I was just like, it was fine. I was like, and that was a different time where you had to, like, exchange. I go on GameFAQs and, like, exchange, like, these long numbers and stuff like that. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Right.
But yeah, I never got it either, to be honest.
I've gotten it to varying degrees. Now, like, with the DS one, I got in it late, so I did my best, but I couldn't keep up with, like, Goldfarb, who had, like, everything. And
yeah.
It was insane about trading stuff. But they're fun for a while until I feel it's the same thing as a lot of games, where you look back 10 hours, 20 hours, whatever, later, and you're just like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do I give a shit about this cherry tree? Why am I picking weeds? What am I, you know, trying to find all these seashells and dinosaur fossils? And the fact that
this game sounds weird as shit.
And it's the same game, too. Like, there is no huge change. There is no big change from it or anything else. Like, that's always one of the problems with it. Now, in the similar vein, though, I don't hate it, but I don't get it, Half-Life. I've tried, man. I've tried playing both Half-Lives, and I just cannot do it. Like, I just find them boring. I find them mechanically clunky, and I don't enjoy them. Mm. And everyone's like, the story and the end scene. I was like, well, I just, when it's a slog to get to that point, I just can't be a part of it.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, and there are others, too. I mean, to varying degrees. Like, Call of Duty is actually one of those games I think about, not in the sense that it's bad, because it's excellent, but why there hasn't been a bigger backlash against the forced annualization of that series, when people should be, like, more interested in settling into a game for a couple of years or a few years and really learning it. It seems like there's a lot of churn in those games, and I'm always wondering, like, what is it about it that makes everyone want to jump to the next Call of Duty? And I think it's because they think everyone else wants to and needs to jump to the next Call of Duty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Call of Duty's mechanics are unrivaled, I think, in shooting. But I think about it in that sense too. And another example is God of War. I've been a long outspoken proponent of, or, you know, of just saying, like, I don't really get it.
Yeah.
Excellent games is when you play them. Don't understand, like, why anyone cares about Kratos. Don't understand, like, why anyone cares about that world and the very one-dimensional kind of storytelling.
Sure.
It's just not for me. But
yeah, you and I have gone around about that enough times. I think it just comes down to, that's an action movie, right? I mean, it's just like, that's the whole thing, is like, it's a 8-hour, 7-hour action movie, right? Where it's like, in a 2-hour stint of Die Hard or whatever, maybe a bad reference, but, you know, where you have this, like, action hero who really only has one emotion, it's not that big of a deal, right? You want to see The Rock fuck shit up or whatever, but, like, yeah, with Kratos nonstop yelling Calliope every 5 seconds. What's going on?
Yeah, God. But I don't want to bring Calliope. I just bring those examples up. Like, Assassin's Creed really is the answer for me to that question.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think about Call of Duty and God of War and other series that I don't quite understand. Let's categorize those as, I don't quite understand them.
Don't get them.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything's for me to be, you know, to be understood by me.
Out there, Nick Scarpino says he agrees with me about Half-Life.
There's a lot going on right now, guys.
Yeah, Nintendo's going.
Nintendo Direct's going on. There's a lot of exciting news.
Yeah, I mean,
we're gonna get into that at a later time. Colin and Greg live. You should go check it out. We're probably gonna do some stuff. It's gonna be fun. I will just say, I was totally fucking right about some shit, so that's great, ladies and gentlemen.
You called the Yarn Amiibos, all right?
Oh, Yarn Amiibos. That was it.
No.
All right. This has been episode 14, the last ever episode 14 of the Kind of Funny Games
Cast.
Guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. Until next time, I love you. What's up, guys? Welcome to the first and last ever episode 14 of the Kinda Funny Games cast. Oh yeah. So, Colin, a little thing happened. Real quick, this is the two coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller, Colin Moriarty, and of course, my boy, Alfredo Diaz.
What's up, Tim?
Alfredo plays.
He's wearing a wife beater on under
Twitter. No, I am. On Twitch. Yeah, he does things.
It's wife beaters. Coarse material.
Wait. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to do that over.
What?
Alfredo's mic is like really fucked.
Okay.
Oh. There was a whole wife beater bit going on too.
Yeah, we can't recreate that.
Yeah, yeah. You can't do it again.
Leave this all after the fact. Leave this all after the fact. Because people need to know about the undershirt and they need to know about the coarse material. Yep.